The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Why are you so into Pinot? I mean, it's like a thing with you.
I don't know. It's a hard grape to grow, as you know, right? It's thin-skinned, temperamental, ripens early. It's, you know, it's not a survivor like Cabernet, which can just grow anywhere and thrive even when it's neglected. Nah, Pinot needs constant care and attention. You know, and in fact, it can only grow in these really specific little tucked away corners of the world. And only the most patient and nurturing of growers can do it, really. Only somebody who really takes the time to understand Pinot's potential can then coax it into its fullest expression.
Well, that's a clip from the movie Sideways, a road movie set in California's vineyards. It's sort of a theme for this week's Inside Hollywood, where holidays are the backdrop to the plot. We're joined by Dee Reddy, pop culture journalist and podcaster. Dee, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Fantastic. I didn't realise Pinot Noir was hard to produce.
Yeah, it is. And it's funny you should say that, because Pinot Noir production in California, since that movie came out and Paul Giamatti gave that lovely kind of talk about the grape and the sensibilities of it. The production's actually gone up 170% in California, and it's actually referred to as the Sideways effect. But by the same token, Merlot, which the other character played by Thomas Hayden Church, has actually tanked people, because the character in the film hated Merlot so much and was like, anything but Merlot. People stopped ordering it in wine bars and the like. And it just goes to show how a movie that so encapsulates the spirit of being on holidays, it's all about finding yourself, about relaxing and chatting and good wine with friends. It can have much more wide-reaching consequences for an industry than just the movie itself.
What's the basic plot here? These two guys go on a road trip through the vineyards of California.
One of them is he would have been a confirmed bachelor, and he wants to have a kind of final jaunt before he finally gets married. And then that's the character played by Thomas Hayden Church. And then the other, Miles, is a school teacher who is, I suppose, he had aspirations to be a novelist. That's the character that you have speaking there. But for whatever reason, and probably largely due to his own kind of anxieties, has never actually taken the plunge to do it. And they're two ex-college buddies. They're basically sharing in a midlife crisis. And off they go on a wine tour around the Californian wine region. And it's just a fantastic film, and very dialogue-based, which I think is something that we'll see with a lot of the movies that we're discussing today.
Now, another one that you want to highlight is Forgetting Sarah Marshall from 2008, which I haven't seen.
Well, you know, it's aged a little bit better than its cast, let's just say. It stars Kirsten Bell, who's fantastic in it, Mila Kunis. It's a Judd Apatow film. Jason Segel, who wouldn't have been huge, like he would have been well known as a sort of kind of in the background actor, but this was his first kind of starring role. He went on to do the Muppets film afterwards. And then unfortunately Russell Brand is in there, but thankfully Paul Rudd, which is great. But it's a brilliant film. Basically, the main character goes on a holiday after being unceremoniously dumped by his long-term girlfriend, and discovers that she is in the same resort with her new fella, who's this English rock star, which is not ideal, let's face it.
OK, well, we have a clip.
We do indeed. It's Paul Rudd.
How long have you lived out here?
Man, I don't know. I quit wearing a watch when I moved out here.
Wow, that's so cool.
Yeah. No, like my cell phone has a clock on it, so I don't really need it.
Right, so basically the same thing. How old are you?
I don't really believe in age or numbers. You know, I mean, if you had to put a number on it, I guess I'd be 44.
Thanks for taking me out here. This is the first time I've felt good in 3 weeks or so.
You need to get back on that board is what you need to do.
Yeah?
Hey, here's the deal. When life gives you lemons, just say the lemons and bail.
Yeah, no, you said it, totally.
You gotta just pull yourself up by your wetsuit, get back on that board. Hey, look, man, if you're attacked by a shark, are you going to give up surfing?
Probably, yeah.
Let's go in, all right? Tacos are on me.
Paul Rudd there giving another brilliant performance. He's just such a brilliant comedic actor. And a lot, like a lot of Judd Apatow's films, the scenes like that, they're very often improvised by the actors. And I think you can tell there that that's probably what's going on.
Now, a film we don't have a clip of this one, Dirty Dancing.
Yeah.
Massive hit.
Unbelievable. I mean, iconic is the only way to describe it. And it is set in the 1950s or 60s, rather, in a sleepy resort in the Catskills. That's sort of, and actually that sort of, that whole thing of the holiday resorts in the Catskills is captured really well in a season of The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. So if anybody enjoys Dirty Dancing and maybe they haven't got enough of that era and that time and place, it's definitely worth checking that out. But it's best known, I think, for Jennifer Grey and Patrick Swayze's brilliant performances as the two leads. But what a lot of people don't realise is they weren't actually the first choices. It was originally going to be Val Kilmer alongside either Sarah Jessica Parker or Sharon Stone. Always fascinates me when you hear those alternate castings.
Yeah, because you can't imagine them.
You really, really can't. Like the performances that Jennifer Grey and Patrick Swayze gave are just fantastic. The dancing and the chemistry between them. You can actually have a look online. There's a viral video of their original screen test together. And you can see just for that first moment, they just had it on screen together as actors.
Now, something I have not heard of either, the Before trilogy, and we're going to talk about one of it, Before Sunrise.
Yeah, so this is from 1995, and it's probably the originator of the most unlikely trilogy ever, the Before trilogy, as you said, Pat. It's the sleepiest, most slow-paced, most delightful film you could probably ever conceive. And it sounds, if you saw it on paper, you'd go, that would never work. It's a character called Jessie and another Celine. So they're played by Ethan Hawke and Julie Delpy. They meet on a train and one of the characters decides to stay on the train so they can continue their conversation. And the conversation continues all through the night. That's where the title comes from, Before Sunrise. And they just meander through the streets of Vienna, discussing life, love, happiness, sadness and everything in between. It's an absolutely stunning film.
And what happened then? What were the next two in the Before series?
So you've got Before Sunset and Before Midnight. Now, they happen at 9-year intervals where they check in with the characters to see what happens.
Same casting?
Same casting, same team behind it. And again, a lot of the dialogue is actually improvised in it. It's really superb.
And you have a clip?
So how do you speak such good English?
I went to school for a summer in Los Angeles.
Yeah?
It's fine here?
Yeah, it's good.
I spent some time in London.
Wow.
How do you speak such good English?
Me? I'm American.
You're American?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
No, I'm joking. I knew you were American. And of course you don't speak any other language, right?
Yeah, I get it. So I'm the crude, dumb, vulgar American and doesn't speak any other languages, who has no culture, right? But I tried. I took French for 4 years in high school. When I first got to Paris, I stood in line at the metro station. I was practicing. Un billet, s'il vous plaît. Un billet, s'il vous plaît, you know. Un billet, s'il vous plaît. Un billet, s'il vous plaît, you know. And I get up there, and I look at this woman, and my mind goes completely blank, and I start saying, I need a ticket to get to, you know. So, anyway.
We've all been there.
It's worth noting as well, it's a Richard Linklater film. And he's someone who really, I suppose, is the only person who's managed to capture the joy and the sadness of aging on screen in such a beautiful way. And by checking in with the characters every 9 years, it's another exploration of that.
Now, finally, we'll go back to 2000, 24 years ago, and The Beach, and a very young Leonardo DiCaprio.
This was based on Alex Garland's really cult novel. I remember reading it at the time. And it really captures that backpacker culture and maybe might put you off it in a way. But basically what happens is his character meets somebody in a hostel who gives him a map to get to this secret island where people are living in a sort of utopia and just, you know, leaving the world behind. But unfortunately for everyone involved, it becomes a little bit more like Lord of the Flies than Swiss Family Robinson, and things start to get very, very dark indeed.
And ever since, that beach has been inundated with tourists.
It has, and even at the time with the making of it, there was a lot of complaints from ecological groups around what the film production had done.
Dee Reddy, pop culture journalist and podcaster, thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.